Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That, the voice of Jameson Taillon after giving up not one, but two more home runs after he had a good stretch, strong outings, being the de facto ace in Shota Imanaga's absence, as we are broadcasting live from Gallagher Way here on Raheem and Harris. Mark Grody in for Layla, who is off today. Cubs Mariners coming up. Zach Zaman will do his pregame show from here starting at 12:45, leading up to first pitch. It's all brought to you by IDOT. The Illinois Department of Transportation is here with activities to show you how you can be safe driving home from the game. Visit itsnotagameillinois.com to learn more. And if you want to check out, for the people who are here, the IDOT 10, it's right to the right of us, your left, stage left, if you will. They're over there giving out stuff. They got swag. They're playing games. So a good time over there. But right now, let's welcome in Lance Brodzowski. He's on the artist formerly known as Twitter at Lance Broz. That's LanceBroz. Normally, he would be joining us via the Circa Resort hotline, but you know what? Today, he's with us in
We're studio. Live, baby.
he's down. You can download the Circa Sports app today. So, Lance, let's get started with the question that everybody has on their minds.
Let me hear it.
They want to know, when is Shota Imanaga actually going to be back?
Yeah, so he's rehabbing today in Iowa, and I anticipate him joining the team for the road trip. I don't know if that's been announced, but we'll see how this obviously the outing goes today in Iowa and then go from there. But he would line up to probably pitch one of those games in St. Louis, which would be a really nice return. So we'll see. We'll see if that lines up.
Okay, so you think this could be his last rehab start?
I think for the most part, it depends on pitch count and how many times he gets turnover lineup, et cetera, and how he looks, where the velo's at. We'll have that public data, too. It's cool when the guy gets to AAA. Look at that right after the start happens. So I'm optimistic about it, obviously. I think that it's getting to the point now where he's imminent in terms of his return.
And the next biggest question is, well, Porter Hodge has been down there for a minute. He was the closer at one point this season, and another back of the bullpen arm. When will he be back?
Yeah, so I think Taylor McGregor reported the other day that with Marquee that he is going to either begin a rehab assignment today or tomorrow. So you'll have a confluence of major league arms in Iowa. If you happen to be in Iowa, it's obviously a good game to get to see either of those guys. But yeah, that's a piece that I think they're pretty excited to get back. Again, it just forces a lot of the guys who've been really good. Palencia has been amazing, obviously, in the back end. But the ability to push those guys into almost less leverage roles is great. You can match up Palencia and Hodge based on who you feel is coming up and given orders. I imagine they might share some of the closer duties. That'll be interesting to see. But Palencia has been so good. Maybe just leave him in there. Higher velo than Hodge. Hodge with a big sweeper, a little better to righties. So I'm fascinated to see how they use the bullpen. And then especially as you get towards the deadline, and they eventually maybe add another piece, how that piece eventually slots in to Hodge, Palencia, some of the lefties, et cetera.
Yeah, and that's why I think when Shota, we were having this conversation yesterday, when Shota comes back, who's the odd man out, and what do you do with the odd man out? I mean, the easy name is Ben Brown in terms of the starting rotation, unless there's something we don't know. Marshall suggested yesterday maybe you send him down to the minors to keep him stretched out to be a spot starter. My thought was, put this man into the bullpen because it seems like that might be the ideal fit for him. Do you think that that's what happens with Ben Brown, or do you, through your eyes from what you do and following development, should Ben Brown stay in the starting rotation?
Yeah, I mean, my dream is for him to be a starter long term. I imagine he wants to do that as well. That's where his most upside is. I'm actually fascinated to see if they move Ray into more of a tweener role and keep Brown. And I think that the wild card here is what they end up doing with Cade Horton. Obviously, he only threw, like, what is it, 30-something innings last year. That is the big thing to consider in terms of where the ultimate workload gets to by the end of the year. I'm not entirely sure what they end up doing because it's a weird thing where, okay, maybe you just let him fire all the bullets now and he's your starter until you eventually get to the deadline. Like, maybe he's a deadline bridge. Exactly. Because the weird thing would be, okay, if he hits some workload interval that they're maybe a little bit – they see some fatigue start to build up, then you maybe scale him back. Then the question is, okay, does he turn to the pen and you keep using him, or does he, say, go to AAA and pitch in these crochet-style 2-3-4-inning stints where you're keeping the workload at a manageable level, and then you can maybe bring him back up, ramp him into more of a reliever role where the velo ticks up. So They have some like pieces to play with here that I'm very interested to see how they use. My bet is that Ray moves out of a pure starter role and that Brown stays in.
Stays in there. Okay. I like that. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to continue to see because there's enough special moments for Ben Brown,
yeah,
even in bad games that he's had where he's got like 9 strikeouts and 1 walk where you're like, and he's given up home, or like early runs and then runs maybe late in the game, but you're like, there's something going on there that
we need
to continue.
Flashes of glory, yeah.
Flashes of glory, well put. Yes.
All right, so Lance Brzezdowski joining us here as we broadcast live from Gallagher Way here on Raheemy and Harris. Mark Grody in, Layla has the day off. And Lance, it's interesting because there are puzzle pieces, and this is a better problem to have than the one they had last season when they didn't know where they were going to get their late high leverage arms from. But they have almost a glutton of those this year. I'm curious as to what you just said about moving Palencia around maybe when Porter Hodge comes back. Is it not, in your estimation, Palencia's job now?
It feels like it.
If he came back, Porter Hodge feels like a situational eighth-inning guy, just depending on the matchup that you mix in with a number of guys now. See, it feels like you have like 4 or 5 guys you depend on, if you're Craig Counsell, to get out of late, high-leverage situations.
Yeah, which is fantastic. I mean, you look at the beginning of the year, I feel like everyone was kind of panicking about the bullpen, and I think the topic was like, they're going to need a leverage closer. What does Helsley cost with the Cardinals trading division, et cetera. Now it's moved towards more, you need probably another frontline guy to jump into a 3-4 game set with the team and go, okay, it's Shota, and then it's this pitcher that we're acquiring to lead this rotation into the playoffs and make a deep run. I think the pressure's been taken off the bullpen mostly, where maybe they just go with a more moderate in-between arm. You know, various names have been mentioned, like Anthony Bender with the Marlins. Maybe not a guy you would slot in above Palencia or Hodge, but provides you that middle depth. You know, Theobar and Pomeranz have looked amazing. Flexen's looked really good. There's obviously going to be some regression with some of those guys coming, I think, in terms of the peripherals, but I would love to see Pomeranz be a guy in the playoffs that has like this second life and
wind. Keep it going.
That'd
yeah.
be really amazing, I think, for him as a career standpoint.
Based on your analysis and what you do as far as player development for Marquis on that side, Lance, who do you see as being the biggest candidate for some of the regression that you're talking about? Like, hey, they've been able to do it amazingly to this point of the season, but like, I don't expect Drew Pomeranz to have a 0 ERA season long.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he throws a ton of one pitch. It's an odd four-seam fastball with not a ton of velo, but like a lot of that vertical break. It's a weird high slot. He's probably more like a 3-ish ERA guy, you know, but he's at 0. And the thing with relievers, and they'll tell you this as well, I mean, I've talked to, I'm sure you guys have as well, is like, they have one bad outing and it takes them a month to correct that ERA. It's the inverse as well, right? Where it's like, you could run into a 20-inning stretch where you have a 0 ERA, and it's like, listen, I'm probably not a 0 ERA guy going forward, but I'm happy to put that on my resume.
But
so
he's definitely built himself some grace and good fortune in the future with how long he's gone. He's got the longest active scoreless appearances streak in the majors right now. And you're looking at a guy like Ryan Pressly, who's also not giving up runs, but he's just now getting his ERA into the mid-3s because of what happened against San Francisco, giving up the 9 runs, 8 of them earned. Also, looking at Pete Crow Armstrong and what he's done, was there anything analytically that you saw that would lead to you to believe that on June 20th, this man would have 20 home runs?
No, I don't think so. I mean, listen, like the power surge here has been just unbelievable. I was looking at today's game, actually, Cal Raleigh and Pete Crow Armstrong have 2 of the 3 highest pulled fly ball rates. So Pete is getting to this point where he's chasing a lot. The walks are low. The strikeouts are relatively average. And you go, okay, he's going to regress. But I'm not entirely sure if he's going to regress from a power standpoint, particularly because of how effective he's been at pulling fly balls. If you look at just the distribution of what a pulled fly ball slug is relative to, like, center field, it's almost triple. Like, you're slugging near 1,600 on pulled fly balls, and it's more around 500 to center field. It's just a basic wall size thing, right? So the ability for Pete to pull velo has been incredibly impressive. I wonder whether it doesn't regress as many people expect because of that element of his ability to get through things poolside, where I get, like, you get colder, you get into deep winter here, so to speak, in October, where you hopefully have some playoff
sure.
games, and some of those balls maybe die at the track. But his ability to maximize that element of his game, I'll still go back to that Hunter Green homer, 99 out of third that he pulled. Insane home run. Like, that is a swing that very few players in baseball can achieve and actually barrel the ball on.
And it's amazing, too, because when he first came up, he couldn't hit velocity.
I know, it's crazy. And the thing was, that this, the I think sometimes we miss on like scouting reports. We could talk Matt Shaw. I don't know if we were talking Matt Shaw, but he's one where I thought the scouting report there, for the most part, coming up was like 15 to 20 homers.
Shaw, you're talking about?
Shaw. Yeah. And it's like, it's flipped now where it's like he's almost playing as if he's like a version of Nico Hormer where it's so inside out, it's just average, there's no pull side pop. Pete, on the other hand, the hope there all the time, I remember Jim Callis and I were talking about this on Road to Wrigley, was like, just get him to a league average OBP because this guy's one of the best defenders in the history of the sport, arguably. You know what I mean?
There's Denzel a place Clark for that. And, no matter what, there's always going to be a place for that. No,
and it's like you get to league average OBP. This guy's 4 to 5 WAR a season. He's unbelievable.
And now we're saying he doesn't even need to necessarily, and you hope he does because he's 23 years old, he doesn't need to necessarily get to league average OBP.
No, exactly.
He's going to slug over 500, 100%. Then you have a different type of hitter. It's like get on the base pass, even if it's not. Let's say his career OBP is somewhere between 310 and 315.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You'd live with that if he's going to slug for 500 for his career.
100%. It's an equation, right? Like batting average, OBP, and slug. Like obviously slug and OBP are the ones that are pushed into the models that teams are going to value a lot more. But you can slug enough to make up for poor OBP. We've seen a lot of guys do this in the league. And Pete is slugging so much that it's making up for a relatively average OBP, so it's impressive.
This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. What if you could save an average 95% for dental implants and get 100% of your smile back? Well, with medical PPO insurance, it's possible. Check if you qualify at AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Joined here by Lance Brodzowski. He's in player development on the marquee side. He's out here telling you who's coming up on that road to Wrigley, and that's one of the things. But you brought up a guy I was going to ask you about with Matt Shaw. I am shocked that as well as he's hit for average since he's come back from that early, let's say, not up to par performance when he broke out of camp, he has not shown hardly any power. How concerned are you about that for Matt Shaw?
I don't think I'm particularly concerned. I mean, we've seen a lot of other guys come up and be like various versions of themselves before they settle in. Like think about Nick Kurtz with the Athletics is a great one where he's now mashing and he was terrible to start. He felt like a surefire first baseman that would be unbelievable. Christian Campbell, one of the top prospects in all of baseball with the Red Sox,
he just got sent back down
to AAA. Yeah. So like it takes some time for guys to show you who they really are. But I will admit it's a little bit, I wouldn't say surprising. It's just not exactly what I thought Shaw would be at the major league level, to be so inside out, so average driven. To Jim Callis and I, we were talking about this where we viewed him as more of like the 15 to 20 pop guy, maybe 260, 270 average with a reasonable OBP. He's kind of like a do-everything guy, like does everything well, can play good defense, can play second or third if you want, et cetera. And now it's like, okay, playing much better defense than I think everybody thought, and average is fantastic, and all his barrels are coming to right field, so it's a weird profile. Like, it is an odd profile. I was talking earlier about pull fly balls and how important that is. If you want to look optimistically, like long-term at Shaw, it's a matter of like, okay, if we can get some of these pulled fly balls back, then you start to see the slug and everything tick up. And I wonder if there's some balance that they're going to try to strike eventually with him. But for now, he's productive going the other way so much, so stick with it. And I understand that there's no pressure on him to be a 450, 500 slug guy. So just let him do what he's doing. Like, he's playing at an above-average rate. They haven't had third-base production.
Especially with the way that he started the season and he's figured something out, then maybe you add whatever adjustment they made with him in the minors, maybe you continue to adjust for power.
100%, yep.
And, you know, so just let it ride out, whatever it is. If it's low home runs, I'm okay with that. Let me ask you, I got another question about Cade Horton, because I was asking Ron Coomer about it. And Ron Coomer, like I kind of said, I don't know what Cade Horton is. Maybe he's a middle of the rotation guy. Maybe he's a number three. Ron Coomer said he's got one or two stuff, like he could be top of the rotation. Do you think Cade Horton can eventually be a top, and I know how early it is and ridiculous to prognosticate this stuff, but does he have top of the rotation stuff, in your opinion, Lance?
Yeah, I mean, with prospects, a lot of times you're looking at some range of outcomes. So a lot of the time that top-end range of outcome is frontline. It's just a matter of, like, how often you're actually getting there. My perception of Cade is that he's much more of, like, a 3-2.
Okay.
And I say that because he cuts his fastball a lot.
Yeah.
Generally, those pitches don't miss bats. If you look at some of the best aces of baseball, these true ones we're talking about, they all have fastballs that can miss bats. So that is the thing to focus on is, like, okay, over time, can this fastball miss more bats than it has, particularly? That's the angle I would look at it. If you actually want a one, think of all the ones, Wheeler, Skuball, Skeens. Those are all like 60-plus, 70-plus fastballs in terms of grade. They're fantastic. Cade's fastball sets up everything else in his mix. I don't think Cade's intent is to throw 50% fastball and two-strike counts. Like, he's trying to get you to the sweeper. He's trying to get you to the change in the curve to lefties. That's his bread and butter. It's like, let me get you. I will throw this cut fastball over the plate. I bet you won't barrel it. When you foul it off and I get you into two strikes, you're done because my secondaries are good. Mm. But it's that fastball playability from a whiff standpoint for me that accelerates you into, like, the rung of ones. So that's my hesitancy. It's like, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. Like,
yeah.
If he ends up being a 3 for his whole career,
it's okay.
Sign me up. Yeah. I think everybody in the org would be happy with
Amen.
That.
Lance Brzezdowski joining us to talk everything Cubs, the player development analyst for Marquee Sports Network. Lance, before we let you go, I have a pressing question.
Let me hear it.
Because I've seen a lot of different things, a lot of different approaches by Craig Counsell. Do you think at this stage we're done, unless it's like a doubleheader situation or something happens injury-wise, with the opener?
Oh, the opener, yeah. I mean, I really liked what they did with Pomeranz in there, particularly because those two teams that faced the Reds and I forget the other team. But
Mets,
yeah, lefty-heavy off the top. And the Reds, if you could flip Ellie around to the right side, that gives you an advantage. So the concept there was like, okay, if we're getting 4 or 5 ABs from Ellie, we could take one of those and make an extreme disadvantage for him. Fantastic. If we could do it off the top of the game, Friedel, you want to lead him off still? Sure, Pomeranz is going to mow through him. So I wonder whether it's a matter of looking at the opposing team in terms of lineup construction. Are they lefty-heavy at the top, and can you use a Pomeranz to help mitigate any stress that a Ray or a Brown might run into? Those are probably the only guys you're going to do it against. You don't need it with Boyd. You don't need it eventually with Shota when he comes back. But I think it's more a matter of the opposing team as opposed to the Cubs being like, yes, we're opening the next 4 games because it's fun and it worked. It's more like, can we get an advantage here? Can we flip a hitter that's really good from this side of the plate to, you know, 25% less in terms of that productivity in a given game?
Certainly changes the narrative when you talk about going through an order potentially 3 times. If you don't have to face the top of that order a first time in the first inning, you might get through 5 innings and not have to face that top of the order until the 5th or 6th inning. That could change the dynamic of a ball game. Lance, we appreciate you stopping by to join us. I know you got a lot of marquee duties, but we, on this Sammy Sosa day, we celebrate it with you by having you on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Lance Brzezdowski, player development analyst for Marquee Sports Network. Go follow him if you're not already on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Lance Broz. That's LanceBroz. I want to tell you guys right now, you can get tickets, not to this game, because this thing looks like it's going to be sold out as the rain is kind of laid off.
Yeah.
We got clearer skies. There's still some cloudiness, but we're expecting it to all burn off in about an hour or so, and the system that was plaguing us, falling apart. That's what I've been told by Ryan Porth. It's falling apart.
It's all on you, buddy.
So we're going to have baseball, according to Ryan Porth. If we don't have baseball, blame Ryan Porth,
not me. Put it on me.
But I want to tell you, you can listen all week for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to Windy City Smokeout. That's on Saturday, July 12th. Performances by Kane Brown, Megan Maroney, and more. For tickets, visit WindyCitySmokeout.com. Keep listening. Coming up next, we go back to the phone lines, back to your texts. We want to get your thoughts. Sammy Sosa back in the building. Are you excited? Are you conflicted? Or are you like, nah, that man needs to stay away from here? Well, he's here. Accept it. In fact, he's going to be on the broadcast of the game with Pat and Ron coming up later today, scheduled to join them in the booth. That's one of the many things that's happening today at Wrigley Field for Game 1 against the Mariners. We'll be back with more. Ramhemi and Harris with Mark Grody in on 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.